Well, an English professor was trying to impress upon his students the importance of punctuation and getting punctuation correct so that you had the proper meaning and understanding to the sentence being read. And so he gave them this sentence. Go ahead and bring that slide up, Keith. Next one. This is the sentence that he gave to his class. We're going to join in his assignment. I'm going to ask you to write that sentence on your bulletin. And you're back in English class now, so properly punctuate that sentence. All right? I'll give you a moment to write that sentence down on your bulletin. And then I want you to add punctuation so that the meaning of the sentence is clear. We'll see if we come out where his class did. So that was the sentence, no punctuation, and he instructed his students to properly punctuate that so that it gave the proper meaning. The male students in the class added punctuation to the statement so that it read as follows. Woman without her man is nothing. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning to see how many of our men punctuated the sentence just like the male students in that class. But the female students, on the other hand, had a little different perspective. They added punctuation so that it read, woman, without her, man is nothing. Now, you can carry on that debate when you get home today over your Mother's Day meal, but I think we would all agree that mothers play a most significant role in the lives of our families. And being a mom is a difficult, demanding job. It's never-ending, right? And we want to honor moms today. And it seems like as a mom, just the time you really get experienced at it, you get kind of this figured out, the kids are gone. They go out the door and begin their own journey into adulthood. And there are certainly a lot of conflicting voices out there offering different opinions about what it means to be a mom and what those responsibilities are as a mother. You've probably heard about the guy that had five theories about being a good parent and no children. And then later in life, he had five children and no theories about what that means to be a good parent. Well, where do you go for help? Well, God's Word gives us some practical, helpful guidance on giving your children really what they need most. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And when you look at your outline there on the back of your bulletin, using an acrostic to kind of help us remember these four key things that children need most that we can give to them, not just as mothers, but also as fathers. And so the outline will form the word love. And that's also the very first thing that we need to give our children is love unconditionally. This is the first and foundational ingredient that children need. This is where we begin. Children need the security of knowing that they are loved for who they are, not for what they can or cannot do. Unconditional love is the kind of love that God expresses toward us. The Apostle John wrote, God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. All of God's actions toward us are motivated by love. He seeks our highest good. And the Bible is full of examples of God's love for you and me. God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more than He already loves you. As parents, we must model that kind of unconditional love. Now, will we do that perfectly? No. We're not perfect. Do we need God's help to do that? Absolutely. But it is imperative as mothers and fathers that we give to our children unconditional love. Well, how do you do that? That sounds good. How do you go about doing that? Well, three A's. First of all, we can express unconditional love by giving them acceptance. Now, God accepts us just the way that we are, and praise God, He doesn't leave us just the way that we are. He is at work to change us and to transform us. And sometimes it's easy, maybe, to reject our kids when they mess up, when they fail, when they don't look like we want them to look, when they don't dress like we want them to dress, when they don't maybe meet our standards. But we must give them unconditional love by accepting them. The Bible says in Romans 15:7, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. Now, acceptance doesn't mean that you necessarily approve of every decision that they make, but it means we've granted them acceptance. We need to accept them as God's gift to us. Second way that we can show unconditional love is to give them affection. Appropriate physical contact is essential in communicating unconditional love. So hugs and kisses and pats on the back are all expressions of affection. Now, as they get older, you know, and get into those teenage years, you know, they sometimes don't want mom and dad, you know, hugging them or whatever. I used to tease one of my students when I was a youth pastor in middle school. She'd always come up and kind of punch me in the stomach. And I used to tease her and say, well, that's just your way of showing me affection, right? Touch is powerful. In a positive way, we need to touch our kids and let them know they matter to us, that we love them tremendously. And maybe you're thinking, well, I wasn't raised like that. You know, we didn't do that in my family. That's okay. Choose to be different. Your kids desperately need that kind of affirmation from you. And so communicate your love through touch. Give your kids a hug. Tell them every day that you love them. I love that story Misty shared about singing her kids to sleep at night. Tell them over and over again they are loved. Third way we can communicate unconditional love is to give them attention. This may be the most important way that we communicate the unconditional love that we have for them, by giving them our attention. So you have to spend time together. Spend time listening to your children. We spend a lot of our time talking to them, giving them our lecture maybe, but we need to spend some time listening to them. Spend time in meaningful interaction where they've got your undivided attention, so you're not trying to multitask and do several things at once. I would encourage you as a family to kind of have a media-free zone. That, you know, you have some time together where you turn off all the electronic devices, or at least you put them away. Mealtimes would be a great opportunity to have some family conversation and just say, no electronic devices allowed at the table. We're going to talk to one another. We're going to talk face to face. Give them your undivided attention. So put down those cell phones and express that unconditional love by spending time talking together. Give them your acceptance, your affection, and attention to communicate that unconditional love that you have for them. Second, we need to give them order consistently. Children need structure and discipline. Don't expect your children to behave like adults, but they do need correction, they need guidance, they need structure and discipline. Giving your children order is kind of establishing those boundaries. And those boundaries are there to protect them. Okay? Why do you say to a child, don't run out into the street? Because you don't want them to get hit by an automobile. And so you establish some boundaries. And those boundaries are there not because you don't want them to experience life to its fullest, but because you do want them to experience life at its fullest. And you recognize that those boundaries help protect them. And so we need to give them those boundaries that protect and also correct. Discipline is another way that we communicate our love for our children. Proverbs 13:24 says, "If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them." And then Proverbs 23:13 says, "Don't fail to correct your children. You won't kill them by being firm." Now, sometimes they may, try to make you think you're killing them with your structure and boundaries and discipline, but it's essential for their future success that they begin to learn, why those boundaries exist and what happens when you cross over those, that there are consequences that accompany those decisions. I would say there's also two extremes to be avoided in this area of order and discipline. The first is giving so much structure, so much order, that it really restricts your child's ability to grow and develop. There are some parents who are so organized, they just kind of plan out every moment of every day for their child. Don't do that. Don't be so structured that there's no room for your child to grow and to learn and to be creative. And so that's one extreme to be avoided. For those parents, sometimes the rules become more important than the relationship. And all the focus gets turned toward just obeying the rules, and the relationship is sacrificed. And so make sure that that relationship is always top priority. Children need some opportunities to make some decisions and to learn from their mistakes. It's always kind of humorous now that our kids are grown to look back on some of those family pictures and they would say, "Why did you let me wear that?" It's like, you chose that and that wasn't a battle we wanted to fight. So that's why you're wearing that for that picture, because you chose to wear that for that picture. So kids need some opportunity to grow and develop, so don't over-structure life for them. But the other extreme is to kind of provide no structure. Don't give any order. Don't discipline them. Certainly never correct them. Let them be free to do whatever they want. Well, that's an extreme that's headed for disaster as well. You see, we need to provide some structure. We need to provide proper boundaries because that communicates our love for them. They need those loving rules and those rules lovingly applied so they can learn that life has boundaries, that you're not just free to do whatever you want. Appropriate boundaries help communicate love. And I think it's important as we talk about order and structure and discipline to understand the difference between discipline and punishment. The purpose of punishment is to inflict penalty. The purpose of discipline is to promote growth. Discipline wants to correct, it wants to train, it wants to make better, whereas the focus of punishment tends to be on the past. Here's what you did. Now you're going to be penalized. You're going to be punished for that decision. Whereas the focus of discipline is really more focused on the future. Yes, it acknowledges the wrong that was done in the past, but it's not dwelling on the wrong. It's really looking at what do we need to correct? What do we need to do differently so that we don't make the same mistake again in the future? Discipline your children in a timely manner. Follow through on what you say you'll do and be consistent in your discipline. Don't make threats you can't uphold. Don't threaten your child. If you do this, I'm going to hang you by your toes from the rafters of the house. That's not, they know you're not going to do that. All right, so be consistent. Again, are we going to be perfect? No. But kids need that order consistently. Third thing your children need is for you to give them values intentionally. Kids need moral values, and instilling such values must be intentional. As parents, we have the responsibility to instill godly values into the hearts and lives of our children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Circle that word, diligently. As parents, we are to teach our children how God's word applies to everyday life, to the situations that they are facing. God's word, the Bible, is the basis for these values that kids need most. The truth, as revealed in God's word, provides the standard by which decisions are going to be made in life. We're going to be talking about choices next Sunday as we kind of recognize our graduates. God's word gives us guidance and direction as we make the multitude of decisions that face us every day. So we might ask then, how do you intentionally instill those godly values? Well, first of all, by your example. Your kids are watching you to see how you respond to the challenges and the demands of life. And so you are teaching them 24 hours a day. Your children are watching and listening to you talk on the phone, how you read the paper, how you respond to your spouse, how you respond to others. And so you are constantly teaching by your example. We need to be consistent and not hypocritical. Again, are we going to do that perfectly? No. And I think that's also a part of that learning process, that when we mess up, that we acknowledge that we own that we come and say, hey, I didn't handle that correctly, and I need to ask your forgiveness for that. And so let's be consistent in seeking to live a godly life before God and before our children. Model for them the values that you want them to develop in their own life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." I think that's a great passage of Scripture for parents. It's bold, it's daring, it's humbling to say, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." But we lead and teach by example. Jesus said, John 13, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So intentionally instill godly values in your children by your example. Second way we instill godly values is by our instruction. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The word for teach means telling over and over again, as well as modeling a consistent message. Every parent has faced that frustration of feeling like, I've said the same thing over and over again until I'm blue in the face, and they don't seem to be getting the message. Well, you just keep telling it over and over and over again. That's kind of the meaning behind that word, teach. It's telling it over and over again. And recognize that during any given week, there are numerous opportunities to communicate God's truth, so that when feeling pressure and stress from the daily demands that accompany life, remind them to cast all your anxiety on the Lord, because He cares for you. When faced with people maybe at school who make fun of you, instead of teaching them to go back to school the next day and punch that kid in the face, you can say, you know, Jesus said to pray for those who persecute you. Why don't we pray for that person who said some mean things to you? Because that kind of really reveals more about them than it says about you. When facing a major decision, remind them to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Intentionally instruct your children, showing them how God's truth applies to their lives. And then the third way to instill godly values is by involvement. Kids need positive parental involvement in their lives. Involvement means that you are not detached, but you are actively involved in the life of your child. You understand them. You know how they are created. You know their interests. You know what they like, what they don't like. It includes involving them with others who can kind of join you and partner with you in helping to shape them into the image of Christ. The church represents God's plan to be that partner, to come alongside of you, not to replace you, not to take that responsibility away from you of instilling godly values into your children. We will partner with you in that, but we get them a couple of hours a week? You've got them every day. Now, we'll partner with you. We want to help you in that important task of instilling godly values in your children. But we will not and cannot replace you in that task. The church is certainly a family of extended believers who are going to come alongside of you to walk with you as a parent, as a mother, to kind of help you in that journey. And certainly there are going to be adults who are going to invest in your children. I am so thankful for the investment that you all have made in our children through the years. And, the success that they've had, a lot can be attributed to your input, your involvement in their lives. And so we need to be engaged. We need to be involved so that they can develop a Christ-like character. Give them values intentionally through your example, through your instruction, and through your involvement. And then the fourth thing that your children need is to give them encouragement continuously. In Colossians, Paul tells the fathers not to embitter their children or they'll become discouraged. Now, the opposite of discourage is to encourage. Paul instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. All of us need encouragement, especially our children. So build them up, affirm them, treat them with respect, compliment them, create an atmosphere where they feel the freedom to take risks. Encouragement gives them the confidence to try new things. Encouragement gives them the assurance that failure is okay as long as you're trying. Do something new. You don't have to succeed at everything. Go ahead and try something new. Encouragement is kind of like filling up an empty tank, or maybe more appropriately, refilling an empty tank. In the world, they're going to get plenty of discouragement. As a parent, maybe especially as a mom, they need encouragement from us. Home should be the place where they feel encouragement and affirmation, where maybe coming home from school and they feel all beat up, that when they get home, they know they're going to be encouraged. God's Word says to give your children what they need is to give them love unconditionally, order consistently, values intentionally, and encouragement continuously. And even if you didn't receive that kind of love growing up as a child, you can still give those to your children. Because God loves you unconditionally. He will discipline you because He wants the best for you. He's given us His Word, the Bible, to guide us in making the right decisions and establishing the values that bring joy and happiness. He is there to encourage you to become all that He has created you to be. He's not there to put you down, but He is there to encourage you to become the person and the parent that you desire. and that He desires for you. In order to receive these ingredients in your own life, you need to know God as your Heavenly Father. You need to be a part of His eternal family. You need His Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart and life. Because the things that I've talked about this morning really are beyond our ability to do in our own strength. And we need a supernatural power to fulfill these responsibilities. And that's through Christ our Lord living in us, enabling us and empowering us to give love to our kids. And when God is your Heavenly Father, you can give your children the love that they need. And I think one of the reasons church is so important today in our society is because, unfortunately, many children did not receive what we've talked about this morning in their family growing up. I mean, school teachers see this all the time, where you have parents who didn't receive this kind of love growing up, and they don't know how to be a parent. They don't know how to give that to their children. And so God has strategically placed the church here to kind of help make up the void in the lives of people that didn't get that kind of love. And we need to be sure that we share God's love and help be a partner in loving parents so that they then learn to love their children. In the context of this family, we can help you receive the love you may have missed as a child. The church exists to help you in that task of being a mother and father. And as a part of this family, you can experience God's unconditional love. Let this family kind of parent you so that you can be a better parent to your children. And if you're not involved in a church, then I would invite you and encourage you to prayerfully consider getting actively involved in a local church that's going to faithfully declare God's truth and is going to genuinely express God's love. And maybe you feel kind of frustrated as a parent this morning. And maybe even feel like a total failure. Maybe some of your kids are going through some real struggles right now. And it's just natural as a parent when your kids are struggling to be struggling as a parent. And maybe feeling like, man, how in the world did I fail? What did I do wrong? And let's say worst case scenario, you did it all wrong. You messed up completely. God is very forgiving. Just admit your mistakes and receive His forgiveness. Don't continue to bear the burden of that guilt. Don't continue to beat yourself up and say, man, I should have done this, I should have done that, I've messed up so bad, my kids are a mess because I was a mess. Okay, that's life. But you are not forever condemned to carry the burden of that. Just admit that to God. Ask His forgiveness and He will grant you forgiveness. And He'll do one better than that. He'll help you to change. You don't have to continue the same patterns that maybe have led to that. You can change by the power of God in you. And then let Him guide you and direct you in giving your children what they need. Let God fill you with His Spirit of love and then treat your children the same way that God treats you. And you might have to admit to your kids, say, you know what, I made some mistakes and didn't do some things right, and I need to ask your forgiveness for that. Let God grant you grace and forgiveness and move forward. Beginning today, to become that person and parent God wants you to be. Give your children what they need by giving them love unconditionally, order consistently, values intentionally, and encouragement continuously. Let's join together in prayer.